Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Getting in the mood. Get groovy now. Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is your host, Margaret, and I want to welcome you to the Laverish. I want to thank you all for coming by. I see that the board is lighting up, and remember our little drill. We get in the backyard, and we're going to take a virtual trip to Jamaica, land we love. And as we take our places, in our favorite chair, whether it's on the beach, on the roof, underneath the mango tree, on the back veranda, or the front veranda, we're going to feel the trade winds blowing gently across our cheeks. And we just chill. No problem, man. Because this evening, Margaret is going to be putting a voice to Dr. Tortella's article on the people who came. And this week, we are doing the Jews. Now, my callers on the board can remember, those who have checked the shows the last 2 weeks, that I am just learning so much. And as I always say, I'm like a kid in a candy store because I get so excited when I learn all these neat things about why we're so mixed and all the great things that have been done by Jamaicans for centuries. So this couple of weeks, we have been talking about the different backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, that are part of the Jamaican culture. So I learned the first week we went into details that the Chinese were the first to sort of start off trading, or credit, as I call it. Because if people will remember that I spoke about the fact that they came in as indentured servants. However, once, you know, things got moving, they became merchants. And they were the first to give credit to the slaves that were freed, because they didn't have a lot of money to buy in big bulk. So they would repackage whatever they bought in bulk in small portions that the families that weren't merchants could afford and weren't planters, you know. So they could, and they could pay for it whenever they got paid. So if you really think about that, they were the first one to offer credit to the people who could not afford to buy in bulk. So we learned about that then. Then last week, I don't know if any of my callers picked it up, but I learned for the first time that it's the Indians that brought the weed. the ganja, and they also brought the rice. So we're really learning how the pepper pot got so delicious. Not necessarily with the ganja, no, I didn't mean it in that order, but I meant that we're learning all about the different cultures and how they've just merged into just beauty, just like the beauty of our beautiful shores. So now, remember, call us on the board. If you want to join the Labrish, you'll have to hit 1 on your telephone. I'll see a raised hand, just like you did in school, and I'll open up the mic and welcome you to the Labrish. Because remember what a Labrish is. It's a conversation about a topic of interest. It's not just me here reading everything from Dr. Tortella's article, but I also put in my sidebar. And you're welcome to put your sidebar in too. So anytime you wish, just hit 1 on your telephone, and I will open the doors, the mic, so you can join the Labrish. All right, so as usual, I want to thank you for being on in the backyard with me. I want to thank my callers online that are listening on their computers, and apologize that I cannot join the chat because I'm not as techy as, you know, most of the other hosting people, so I can't talk to you and online and talk to you on the board. So one of these days I'll figure it out. But right now, you know, I'm just faking it till I make it because I'm not techie at all. Remember, I'm a senior's senior. So here we go with Dr. Tortella's piece. And her article can be found on Pieces of the Past, which if you talk to Mr. Google and just tell him Pieces of the Past Jamaica, he'll bring up all her articles to you. I just love that man. He is so informative, and he tells me anything I want to know. So here we go with the arrival of the Jews. And she gives us a little history lesson before, and it starts off with the Spanish Inquisition was introduced in 1480. At its height, during the reign of the devout Catholic King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, it was implemented as a result of their desire to make Spain one nation, united under one region. All non-Catholics, mainly Jews and Moors, were therefore termed heretic. They were also known as Marrons. It's spelled M-A-R-R-A-N-O-S, Marrons, whatever that is. It's the Spanish. It's a Spanish term for swine, as well as Muslim converts known as another Spanish word. Now, the identity of their accusers were really revealed to them. And once arrested, in other words, they were being persecuted. She's just giving us, this is my sidebar, a little synopsis of what was going on in Spain that led to the Jews coming to Jamaica. So this is the account. So once they were accused, they didn't know who accused them, and they were not allowed legal counsel. They were subjected to unimaginable physical and emotional torture to gain confessions, and their properties were seized and administered first by the crown and later by the general inquisitor, I suppose, whoever inquested them. By the late 1490s, however, King Manuel I of Portugal decided that Jews must be Christianized. The Jews gathered in groups to leave for locations such as Amsterdam, Hamburg, London, and the lands of the New World, where they could practice their religion of choice more openly. So that was the reason that as I read these documents, sidebar again, the Jews were actually the first to come to Jamaica after the Spanish were there. So they actually arrived in Jamaica before the British took over. I never knew that. And if anyone on the board was familiar with that, please just raise your hand so we can chat about it a little. If not, I'm going to go on. So here I go again, no hands raised. So Jamaica, where Columbus landed in 1494, was one of such locations. Jews of Portuguese Spanish ancestry first landed on the island some 40 years later. Actually, they landed in 1530. They made their homes in Spanish Town, then known as San Diego de la Vega. The only operating town on the island at that time. After many years, groups of Jews approached their Spanish governor and requested permission to settle on the island. Permission was duly granted. Now, Jewish American Spanish Town is her headline for the other one. The first headline, that the first paragraph I read was, as I said, from Pieces of the Past, which is published online, and it's actually put there by the Gleaner Company, which we know is one of our oldest papers. So anyone can really Google Pieces of the Past, and you'll get the article in detail and perhaps a lot more accurate than I read it, because as you all know, I have to have a little fun, and I'm not always politically correct, and I throw in my sidebars every now and then and interpret what I think the article means or what it means to me, because what I see and read and feel here is that, you know, here's this king and queen, because they're Catholics, they decided that no other religion is important. And they are persecuting anybody that is not of their religion. And I always say to my listening audience, you know, so much has changed over time, but so much is the same as it was many centuries ago. Because we're talking 1480 here. And if you think of what's happening in other parts of the world, you know, similar things are happening, that people are being persecuted because they're not of the same faith, of the same ethnic background, of the same tribe. I mean, even from one nation to the next. It's happening in Russia. It's happening in Africa. I mean, and here we are. Look how modern the whole planet is, but this sort of thing is still going on. And I just really think it's just human flaws. It has really nothing to do with the time or it's us as people and how we think and feel and behave. So that was my little sidebar. So if anyone would like to throw in here, if not, I'm going to go on to the article. So we're going to talk about the Spanish Town episode now. For the Jamaican Jews, practice of their religion and recognition of their identity remained a struggle under Spanish rule. Yet geographical records showed Jews as having managed to live into their 80s and 90s, Jamaica's revered historian Edward Long described the Jews in 17th century Spanish Town thus, and this is his writing, the Jews were remarkably healthy and long-lived. I think they owed their good health and longevity, as well as their fertility, to a very sparing use of strong liquors, their early rising, their indulgence in garlic and fish, Mosaic laws, sugar, chocolate, and fast, as quoted in his writings, and she has the page that he wrote. So here we're learning that the Jews have always been concerned about health, because they would go to bed early and eat well. They didn't drink a lot, and they were very fertile and apparently strong, because he's writing about, you know, how they lived so long in their 80s and 90s. And you can imagine in those times, even in my time when I grew up, you know, at 60, 50 and 60, I remember when I was growing up, my ancestors were old. You know, it seemed like they were old. Now, here I am, I mean, older than that. And I know that people are living longer now than they did, you know, when we didn't have all the different medical breakthroughs, like for whatever ails us. So we are blessed. But here I hear, I didn't know that before, that the Jews were living into their 80s and 90s during the Spanish time. So let me go back to the article before I get so inspired and so riled up when I discover these things. And I must confess that although I'm retired, I really don't, I research, I try to find information, but I don't go over my notes all the time before I read them on the air to you. So I hope that you will be, you will understand that. So sometimes I have the spell words out, sometimes I can hardly see them, but I think you get the general message. Plus, this is supposed to be a relax. You remember, we are under the tree, we're feeling the breeze. We're not in the boardroom, and we're not anywhere, you know, trying to impress anybody. We're just learning and having fun while we learn. And the whole objective of me doing this show is to leave a living legacy for the people who come behind, especially my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and perhaps yours. And it would be nice if you talk to me, because then you can say to your family, hey, you want to hear my voice? Go check the show out, and you'll hear me talking to Margaret on such and such a time, and it will be in cyberspace forever. I was listening to somebody else's talking today to me on my computer, and somebody asked them, how do you get rid of something that is out there on cyberspace? And the answer was never. It is there forever. So we want the good things to be there forever, right? So you can join me and join the Labrish and just express yourself. So back to Dr. Tortella's article. Here we go. And in the meantime, I want to welcome another caller on the board. And to tell everybody that you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, this is Backyard Labrish. We're here each week at 8 o'clock on Wednesday, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. A lot of us don't plan to go back there to retire, but we still love it. And I want to just celebrate all the great things that I'm learning now. So let me go back to one of my favorite historians. So in addition to a Jewish market and a good number of Jewish shops, and especially the synagogue was established on Spanish Town's Monk Street in 1704. This place of worship largely served Jews of, make sure I say it right, of Sephardic, I hope I said that right, but I know that there's someone on the board who knows all the right pronunciation of the Jewish words and the Spanish words, and I'm expecting them to put their hand up shortly. Okay, so this synagogue was adjacent to the cemetery, and it has gravestones featuring names such as Hendrix, De Sota, De Paz, Machado, and Nunez. And they lie largely in ruins, but there is an institute, a foundation that exists to preserve Jewish remains in Colonial Jamaica has plans for its restoration. This is an ONA article, so I don't know if those plans are in place. And I see a hand, and as soon as I finish this sentence, I'm going to open up the mic, so hang in there, whoever is calling. Now, all Jewish settlers had to be naturalized as British citizens, and as such, they were entitled to own property, a right denied to Jews in medieval Europe. So with that said, I'm going to open up the mic to 718-378. Hold on, the mic isn't open yet. Good evening, this is Margaret. Who do I have?
We got Lay in the Bronx.
What else?
Oh, the home of the bickering Yankees.
Well, welcome, Mr. Lay in the Bronx, home of the whatever. Welcome to the backyard. Are you in your favorite chair?
You bet, yes.
And what do you have in your hand?
Well, I'm on the wraps now, so I could not hold on. Oh, you know, I just had some coconut water, so that'll have to do.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a song, Rum and Coconut Water. Well, I'm sure you don't have the rum in it, right?
Right.
Okay. Backyard, can you relate to any of these names?
Well, I see my surname is involved here.
Ah.
But, you know, that was, the Jews came many moons ago. We're talking 300 years ago.
Right, right, right. But did you know, really, that they were the first to come? They came before the...
Africa. Yes, amongst the first, yes, because...
Yes, yes, they were the first, because came while the island was still under Spanish rule, before it was taken over by the British.
Exactly, and there is a good reason why they chose to come to places like Jamaica.
Right, right.
Because they, you mentioned the Inquisition, which... although in the case of Spain and Portugal, it was run by the monarchy, it was really connected to the Holy See, Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And you also mentioned that the Jews were literally kicked out of Spain. They went to Portugal, and Portugal, they became targeted there as well. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had to find other places to go. Now,
well, they were going to Christianize them.
Yes, if they wanted to stay, they. Yeah. You mentioned the Sephardic Jews. Who came to Jamaica and set up their synagogue, just as the other Jews, the Sephardic Jews are the ones from the Iberian Peninsula, which includes Spain and Portugal, and mm-hmm. the other Jews are Ashkenazi, and those are from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So they both were in Jamaica at a certain point, and they both had separate synagogues.
Forms of worship, yes, I know. I did that in another show, I think, yes.
And,
when we did the churches, yes.
But in 1844, they united. And had their combined cemetery, and one of those cemeteries was in Duke Street. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see. Uh-huh.
You know, and that still exists. In fact, there, I've read where they're trying to
restore it.
restore it. That's the word.
Mm-hmm. Actually, this, I don't know what date this article was, but it mentioned here that there was, you know, going to be some sort of thrust to do that.
Yeah.
And but it's interesting because I don't know if any other callers were aware of this, but I did not. I sort of have touched on the people who came and when they came, but and I'm not doing it in a special sequence, but I had no idea that the Jews came there before everybody else, including the Africans. So
yeah.
I that was very new to me. Also, I don't know if you know, Laid, about, I know you know that the Chinese and the Indians were brought there as indentured servants. However, but did you know that it's the Indians that brought the ganja?
Yes, yeah. We,
oh, you did?
Yeah,
well,
you mentioned.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they brought some of their own things.
Yeah, which ganja was one of them.
One of them, because they use these things to in their worship, you know. Even
right.
though as slaves they weren't allowed to do their own worship at first until after the
talking about who? Which
the
one?
The Indians.
The Indians, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't really slaves, they were indentured servants, which was a little cut above slaves, but
yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah, a cut above. But I just find all of these things interesting. And I did not know about the cemetery that had all these names in Spanish Town. Were you aware of that?
Not the one in Spanish Town. The only one I really know about was the one in Duke Street.
Okay. But you knew that your name was there?
Well, in doing this research here, I realized that...
so you knew it since the research?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the cemetery goes.
Oh, I got you. All right, well, let me just finish this and a little part of this, and then we'll see if anyone else on the board has anything to add. Because you with a Jewish name, I'm sure that somewhere along the way, your ancestors must have been there before the British took over. Perhaps you need to go to Spain and claim something.
No, not as a Jew.
I think that was taken away. And
I
must apologize to the...
Well,
I have to apologize
for that.
It's not a serious show.
It turns out that I am Roman Catholic, and Spain wouldn't mind if I hung around there as a Roman.
Right. But isn't it ironic, though, that as we go over these different periods, there's always been oppression, religious oppression of one kind or another.
Oh, yes.
You know, and it's still happening in different parts of the world.
You know,
so, you know, when we think of the human race, so much has changed in some areas, and a lot is the same.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there are lots of similarities, I'd rather say.
Oh, yeah.
But in 1655, following the English conquest, some Rabbi Ben Israel visited Lord Proctor Cromwell and requested permission for Jews to settle in England, which Cromwell welcomed in the hope that the Jews would bring capital and merchandise knowledge. This implied permission in England, in English colonies, which led to another influx of Jewish settlers in Jamaica from places like Amsterdam. All Jewish settlers had to be naturalized as British citizens, and as such, they were entitled to own property, a right denied to Jews in medieval Europe. So they left, more came after this, I mean, they were granted this special permission, and Cromwell was very happy. because it said here they would bring money and knowledge. So I thought that was quite interesting. Now, the Jews, many of whom were merchants and money changers, not planters, flourished in Port Royal. Trade between commercial centuries inhabited by Jews, such as Amsterdam, the Dutch colonies, and, you know, just all over, St. Thomas, Venice, North America, London, Turkey, and India was brisk. The ability of Jamaican Jews to speak Spanish propelled their success in trade with Spanish America. Goods traded included pepper, cocoa, vanilla, pimento, cocoa, and sugar. By the 19th century, some Jewish merchant families moved into shipbuilding and construction. So that is interesting news, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, if you look at it from a capital point of view or from, you know, investment, they were doing well.
Of course, they were doing very well.
Jamaican Jews were limited by law to ownership of two slaves only, unless they owned plantations, and few did. In addition, they were charged with only using Jewish indentured servants, although this restriction was loosely imposed and therefore largely ignored. It should be noted, however, that the Jews, having introduced sugar cultivation technology to Brazil in the 1520s, are largely credited with doing the same in Jamaica in 1530. So am I to understand by that they introduced the technology of the sugar cultivation?
Well, they were part of it, you know.
Interesting.
Because they were largely people who dealt in mercantile aspects of the economy, always making money one way or the other.
Ooh,
or
yeah.
The other. So, sugar cane was king in those days, and they owned property, so they cultivated sugar cane.
And apparently, they must have come up with some of the ways, you know, we talked about technology here, some of the ways to do things different or faster or better. And they themselves were slave owners at one time. So sadly, back to the article, it said, sadly, there is little documentation of Jewish life in Port Royal, but earthquake survivor Edmund Heath's account of the infamous 1692 event notes the existence of a Jews' street and synagogue, which records locate on New Street running parallel to Cannon Street. I don't know Port Royal, but I suppose that is some streets there now. The Jewish legacy in Port Royal also includes a cemetery at Hunts Bay. And this is, Dr. Tortella is quoting from somebody else's writing. She has the page number and all of that documentation stuff. So for the people who need it for information, for any kind of, you know, school writing, also, it's just great articles to go to and get authentic information, because most of the information published by the people that I get the information from, really, is usually verifiable. You know, you can verify it someplace else. Now, during the 17th century, it was not unusual to see Jewish families carrying their loved ones by boat across the harbor to be buried. So I suppose they were carrying them across the harbor to Port Royal, or where?
Well, yes,
across the harbor. I suppose if they lived at one part of the place, they would go by boat to Port Royal to bury them.
Likely.
Now, most Jews who survived the 1692 disaster left Port Royal and joined their brethren in Spanish Town, Kingston and Montego Bay. And other, that's where you come in, Lee, and Montego Bay, and other location island-wide. In general, Jews tended to favor major towns, but in Jamaica, they spread out all over the island. Ruins of Jewish cemeteries in places as far from Kingston as Savlamar, Clarendon, and Port Maria testify to that fact. By 1700, although recognized as second-class citizens as a result of their religion, the Jews, generally prosperous merchants, are noted as having borne the weight of the majority of the island's taxes. It was not until 1740, after the hearing of numerous petitions, that King George II lifted undue taxation on the community. Less than a century later, Jamaican Jews were given the right to vote, and they quickly began to acquire local political power. By 1849, 8 of the 47 members were Jewish, and that year the assembly decided not to meet on Yom Kippur. It was the first modern political body to do so. And that was stated in the Miami Herald of 1999. I didn't even know that. Oh, the Miami Herald mentioned that in 1999, that it was the first assembly. But I didn't know all of that. Wow. It's interesting, very interesting. So they were into politics during the reign of King George II. All right. Jews in Jamaica, Kingston. With the decline of Spanish Town as the seat of government and business, the Jews turned their attention to Kingston towards the middle of the 18th century. The first synagogue is said to have been built in 1744 and perished in the Great Kingston Fire of 1882. Isn't that something? And another synagogue appeared in 1787. So it too was subsequently lost in the Great Kingston Fire of 1882 and replaced in 1887. During the mid-end of the 19th century, groups of the two different kinds of Jews came together to found the United Congregation of Israelites, and they built their own synagogue on Duke Street. That was done in 1907. However, all synagogues and many other buildings were destroyed by the Great Kingston earthquake. Then it says here that the Shalom Synagogue, the United Congregational Synagogue, was rebuilt on Duke Street in concrete instead of brick by the Hendricks brothers in 1912. That's the year my mother was born. A dramatic sight, standing serenely in white, it is still in use today. Its floor, like that of only a few others in the Western Hemisphere, is made of sand to commemorate the idea that Jews were forced to practice their religion in secret, and sand muffles the sound of footsteps and leaves no trace of footprints. Oh my goodness, that is interesting. Other interesting symbols include the Ark of the Covenant and two perpetual lights that burn on either side of the commensurate in 1921 union between the two different Jamaican congregations. So I suppose that is still burning. This is a sidebar. But isn't that, did you know about the sand and what it represents?
No, I didn't know.
Isn't that something? Because they were forced to practice their religion in secret. Sand actually muffles the sound of footsteps and leaves no footprints. And if you think of it, that is really so. But I never thought of it. Isn't that something? We learn so much from these articles. Today, unlike in the past, where services and practice were largely orthodox, the service is best described as liberal, conservative. Parts are read in English, although some hymns are sung in Hebrew. And some parts are still sung in Spanish. Part of a worldwide tradition, after meals in Jamaica, the hymn is traditionally on the night of some special holiday that marks the expulsion of Jews from Spain. So apparently, it's still being recognized and celebrated. But, Leigh, did you have any of this history when you were growing up in school, and when you went to school?
No.
I find this very interesting because all of these really minute details that I don't know about the rest of the listeners on the board or who might come by later, but I just find those little details so interesting.
My Spanish teacher was Father Pini, who was fluent in Spanish,
mm-hmm.
and he gave us background on the Inquisition as it related to the Catholic Church and Jews.
Expulsion, right. Uh-huh.
And the Moors and stuff like that. So, you know, in a political context, I was aware of certain things. But
it was not part of the curriculum.
No, not as Jews per se.
Right. It was sort of like my little sidebars, our little sidebars to the article.
Yeah.
Where in the beginning of the article, Dr. Tortella, you know, mentions about what was happening then. So I think I hope that really listeners, I can tell because the shows we've been doing over the past couple of weeks have had a lot of hits. So people seem to be interested and are listening. And I really think in my heart that if the new breed of Jamaicans that, you know, are studying now are exposed to a lot of this, you know, and really take it seriously, that perhaps it would be so inspiring to them to keep, you know, everybody that have been to Jamaica in the old days, I'm talking, all these people, they all came with different burdens, persecutions. I mean, from the Indians to the Chinese to the slaves, the Jews, everybody had problems. But they eventually solved them in one way or another, and everybody came together. My point is, now, when I was growing up, there were no Chinese. I mean, we know who were Chinese and who were Indians, but what I mean, everybody was Jamaicans, and I'm sure that they still are, you know, even though they were coming originally from various places because of various problems, whether they came by free will or they were dragged or, you know, chained, but eventually everybody ended up in the pot and made it work. So, you know, that's the good part. That is the good part. And I believe that once people understand a lot of this, it just makes it, to me, deeper and more passionate of who we are, who we really are. And really, our motto is so pointed to who we really are. Out of many, one people. And at this time, I just have a little more of the on to read, but I want listeners on the board. I tend to get carried off sometimes. So if you would like to join the Labrish and just tell us how you feel about all this information that we're trying to share, I would really appreciate it. I ask that if you are interested in a particular title that you see, all of the shows are archived from show that we did 2.5 years ago. That's how long we've been broadcasting. And I just want to let everyone know how I appreciate the support that I continue to get, and the callers, and Leigh, how much I appreciate you and my other loyal listeners. I can see the numbers on the board each week. And a lot of times, even though you are not participating, I see that you are listening. So I really, really appreciate that. So, I'm not supposed to call you your last name, but Mr. Leigh from the Bronx, you still there?
Yes.
Okay, all right. But it goes on to say here, apparently this article was written in 2004, because it says here, today, unlike the past, no, I think I read that before, but as 2005 approaches, the Jewish community is preparing to celebrate 350 years of free religious practice in Jamaica. Today, their numbers have dwindled to close to 200 practicing Jews. However, that number would be much larger if it were a measure simply of religious bloodlines, as many Jamaicans are descendants of Jews, although they do not officially practice the religion. So what they're saying is that perhaps only 200 people are worshiping in the synagogue, you know, and following the traditions. But there are large numbers of Jamaicans that are part of the Jewish bloodline. So that's quite interesting. Then she goes on to say that the poet Daniel Lopez Lagua in 1635 and 1730 was a survivor of the Inquisition, and he converted biblical poems into poems. A book of these poems, which it has a Spanish name, but the English name is The True Mirror of Life, was published. That particular book was published in 1720 and holds the distinction of being the first book to be published in Jamaica under British rule. 19th century painter Isaac Mendes, whose famed print of Jamaica's characters are cultural icons, and they're now featured on a series of Jamaican stamps. He was a Jewish person. Newspaperman Jacob and Joshua DiCordova, who founded the Gleaner in 1833. These are all people, famous Jamaican Jews, known Jews. And Jacob went on to found the city of Waco, Texas. Ooh, that's where that bad thing happened. So he was a Jamaican Jew that went on to Texas to found that city or find that city. Ward Theaters architect, who was Rudolf Henriques, a noted artist whose firm Henriques and Sons was awarded the commission in a competition. The majestic landmark, which is Ward Theater, was built in 1912. And it goes on to give you the names that most Jamaicans would recognize of noted people, Jewish people, or people of Jewish bloodline. So now we know, it says here, the Matalon family, known as one of Jamaica's long-standing captains of industry and supporter of the arts, was from that group of descendants. And the first Jews to settle in North America as a group are said to have landed in New Amsterdam, which is now New York. They landed there in 1654 after having sailed from the northern Brazilian town via Jamaica. In Jamaica, still a Spanish island, they were kept under house arrest. They managed to escape and reach New Amsterdam, which is now New York, where then Governor Peter Strauss wanted them out. As a result of letters from Jews in Barbados and Holland, they were allowed to stay. And they founded the Israel Congregation, one of New York's first. It is slated to celebrate its 350th anniversary in 2004. So this article was written, I think, perhaps in early 2004 or 2003. Because I noticed the articles are not necessarily dated, but we can get an idea of how long they have been online. So that really completes the article on Pieces of the Past, which, as I mentioned before, is published by the Daily Gleaner, who we just found out, you might have known before, but we found out that the Gleaner was started by someone of Jewish origin. And we know it's one of our oldest publications. And now we're finding out, Leigh, that a Jew, a book that was written by a Jew, was the first book published in Jamaica under British rule. So in every one of these articles, there are some new information that surfaces. And as I mentioned before, I know that most of us, even though we might have an interest in something, we don't. Life gets so busy. You know, you get caught up in a lot of things. A lot of people don't have time to do the research. So I consider myself being able, because I'm in retirement, to research it and just put a voice to it so the people who have an interest can get little nuggets of what things was like way back when. The things that these historians have dug up and continue to dig up are really absolutely priceless. So I want to really give a shout out and thank them for their work and dedication. I want to thank everyone on the board for listening and to invite you at this time. The board is full. So if you're calling in from 631-973-301 or wherever and would like to join the Labrish, put your hand up now by hitting 1 on your telephone. I'll see a raised hand like you're in school. I'll open my mic and you can give a shout out. So do it now or forever. Hold thy peace. Going once, going twice. Mr. Lay, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, you didn't fall asleep. Hallelujah.
I did that before.
I'm just being comical. Huh?
I did that before the program.
You fell asleep while I was reading from Dr. Tortella's article?
No, no.
Oh, okay. I'm glad to hear that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it was a pleasure having you in the backyard. I hope you enjoy the Labrish. I hope you'll tell all your friends. Copy and paste the link and send it to your friends. Or if you'd like to visit our website, you can go to www.backyardlabrish.com. You can send us an email. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know if you would like to share in the Labrish. If you have someone who would have a story that celebrates, enlightens, or preserve the rich culture of Jamaica, land we love, we would love to talk to them. So do let us know. I am open and ready to be of service to you. So with that said, Mr. Leigh, I want to thank you so much for joining me. I hope
you're
you'll welcome. Come back soon, and I hope you walk good, because that's how we say goodbye in Jamaica. And for the visitors who may come by later and don't know what walk good means, it means be careful as you go and come back soon. Is that what it means, Leigh?
Yep.
Okay, I got it right. You know, I'm getting old. Sometimes I just forget. But I'm having fun, as you can hear. So I want you to thank you for supporting me in my joy. So, as I always say each week, make it a great week. You've got the power. So come back next week, and we'll all sit in our favorite chairs and feel the trade winds blow gently across our face. But before I leave, I want to mention that we now have a port in Port Antonio. So when you go down on a cruise next time, be sure to go to that port, get a ship that goes to that port, because I plan to do so soon. So bye, y'all. Because I'm in the South, I can say, in Jamaica, I say, walk good. But since I'm broadcasting from the South, I'm going to say, bye, y'all. And I see you all next week. So come back and join us. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Delay. Anybody want to chime in now? We got a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
I guess not. So see you all next week. And thank you for being here. Good night.
Yeah. Good night.
Off. You
enjoy your show,
I
think. Of course. No way. No. And look, everybody's still on the board. I don't know what they're waiting for.
How many do you have? Four, five?